Big band swing. Big band swing emerged in the late 1920s when ensembles started replacing large expensive orchestras with smaller jazz instrumentation for dancing and entertainment venues. The large woodwind sections became saxophone sections that occasionally doubled on double reeds like oboes and cornglays, flutes and clarinets. Strings were replaced altogether with the trumpet and trombone sections. The rhythm section typically consisted of piano, guitar, bass and drums. Originally, big band music was a large jam session, largely performed solely on intuition and whatever musical knowledge the players had to draw from. Soon the need for more complex and extended arrangements of well-known songs of the day became apparent, and big band leaders hired music arrangers to write complex and effective notated big band arrangements, commonly known as charts, for their ensembles. Big bands of note: Benny Goodman, Artie Shaw, Woody Herman, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Stan Kenton, Tommy Dorsey, Harry James, Buddy Rich, Glenn Miller. Moving across to England, Joe Loss, Ted Heath, and to Germany, the fabulous Hugo Strasser, to Canada, Rob McConnell, Boss Brass, Gordon Goodwin's Big Fat Band, the GRP Big Band, Thad Jones, the Mel Lewis Big Band, the Daly Wilson Big Band, an Australian band, John Morrison's Swing City is a great outfit, and anything James Morrison leads is worth listening to. So what to listen for? Well, I think what you should be listening for is the tight ensemble work and for the balance within the sections and the overall ensemble. Listen also to the swing feel, the articulations and the various styles of music, the tonal and technical nuances of the players. A special feature of the big bands was the excellent soloists that were often featured on solos that were almost always improvised. Here's a track called Boppin' with Benny that I wrote, and it features the big band style of the 1940s. This vibrant and typically fast-paced music emerged in the mid to late 1940s as an alternative. Listen for the chord progressions, alterations to these progressions, and in particular to the chord extensions. A wonderful feature of bebop music is the amazing technical facility of the soloists over complex and fast-moving progressions. Listen also to the tonal and technical nuances of the soloists and to the piano voicings, which are based on quite complex chord voicings and altered extensions. This example comes from a live concert that I did. We're playing a bit of bebop. The musicians are Andrew Swan on drums, John Foreman on piano, Nick Haywood on bass. Latin jazz music. Latin jazz emerged originally in the late 1940s when American jazz musicians began collaborating with Brazilian and Cuban musicians. One collaboration of note was Dizzy Gillespie and Cuban percussionist Chano Pozzo. In the 1960s, Stan Getz collaborated with celebrated Brazilian musicians Geo Gilberto, Astrid Gilberto, vocalist, and Antonio Carlos Jobim. The album Getz and Gilberto was released in 1964, and a Grammy Award for Best Album of that year was soon earned. And soon afterwards, Latin jazz, Brazilian and Cuban became a favourite worldwide. One of the prime elements of jazz music that separates it from classical and other musics is the tonal devices and nuances that are actually quite unique to it. There are many vital but also some more challenging aspects of jazz performance that the novice and non-jazz trained musicians will need to develop if they are to play it. Let's have a closer look at some of these. The one that I believe is most important, in fact, I've even created a whole audiobook on the subject of teaching it to woodwind players, well, and specifically clarinet and saxophone players, is vibrato. And you can find that on my website, the audiobook Vibrato, Your Secret Superpower. Whether an instrumentalist or a vocalist developing vibrato styles and the knowledge of when, where, and how to use vibrato is an essential part of performing jazz music in an authentic manner. In fact, I reckon that jazz music without the appropriately placed and stylized vibrato is kind of like eating toast without butter. You can do it, but it's so much nicer with it. So what is vibrato? Well, as I said, I've created a whole audiobook, Vibrato, Your Secret Superpower, if you want to find out about this. But basically, vibrato is a term used to describe a technique of adding colour by using waves or oscillations to finish or colour notes. The degree of the application, the placement of the effect, even the rate and the depth of the oscillations are determined by the player, and they determine also the style of the jazz music being performed. This is yet another reason for engaging in and maintaining a thorough listening program, by the way, because vibrato can really only truly be learnt and developed by listening to great players that can use it. Here's an example of vibrato added to a piece and without it. So I'll start without. And now with. You can hear that it polishes the note, gives it a bit of finesse, helps it to blend, doesn't sound so bland. There are many styles of vibrato, of course. If you were doing a pop instrumental or an adult contemporary, the vibrato would be different. The scale you've just played is called the pentatonic scale, in particular, the C pentatonic scale. The pentatonic scale is a five-note scale, hence the word penta, meaning having five or consisting of five. The pentatonic scale is widely used in jazz, especially that in the early jazz and swing era. Next, play any combination of these notes to create a pattern. Next, try playing the C pentatonic scale using patterns and various rhythms. Just do your best to change the patterns and rhythms around. Now, one of the biggest challenges that faces nearly all jazz improvisers is not just to keep playing all of the time without inserting rests here and there. Nearly all jazz improvisers have been through this at some point. I know I have. If you can learn to insert rests now, it'll be much better later on and your solos will sound better. Okay, next, try the same exercise using the following chords. C6 and then G7. That's C, E, G, A. And then G, B, D, F. Which means we just come down a semitone for the next part. And then a major third. And then a minor third. And a semitone. Okay, let's have a look at that last two bars slowly. The B natural. Down a major third. And then a minor third. And then this large leap. That's a diminished fifth interval. A bit tricky to pick up on, But you'll work it out if you've got a piano in front of you. And then a semitone. The diminished fifth, you can think of it along the lines of if it was a fifth. And then a semitone down. Okay, the harmony I was thinking while I was improvising that, I think something like this. So just playing C6, then an E half diminished or an E minor 7 flat 5, E, G, B flat, D, which is where you get that ability to use the E and the B flat. And then the A7, B minor 7, C diminished and A7 over C sharp. It's a nice little trick. Anyway, I hope that's helped you get a start on transcription. Now, let's have a look at the rhythm to that. This is where I said subdivide into smaller values. So if we go 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and you can see that after the first beat, I have a quaver or an eighth note. 3 and 4 and 1 and. And the rest is easy because they're all on the main beat. 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, but this is on the off beat. So it'll be an and, 2, and 3, 4, back onto the main beat, 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4. There you go. It's not that hard. It may seem like it's a very technically difficult and complex thing to do, but transcription with practice is quite easy. Okay, let's move on to modes. Even substitute the C6 and the F6 chord for blues. That works quite well too. A helpful tip when you're using the blues scales to improvise. Don't just stay on the blues scale. Mix it up with the pentatonic and the major. So instead of just playing this, now try using the major third sometimes instead of just the minor third. And put a little bit of chromaticism in to lead to important notes. Folks, it's about that time. We've got to bring this series to a close. Unfortunately, I've absolutely had a ball producing and recording this for you, and I hope you found it interesting and informative. I thought, just as a nice way to close, it would be good if I played various examples of styles of jazz improvisation, just so you can get a more of an idea from a practical point of view of the type of effects and melodic development and motifs and styles and even tone colours that I use when I improvise in various styles. I've just done up some backings and I'm just going to play over the top of them the best I know how. I hope you enjoy it. Here we go. Let's call these tracks Putting It All Together. Thank you.